Hello and welcome to the Do One Better podcast in philanthropy, sustainability, and social entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Alberto Aligi from London. Please click that subscribe button and follow us if you're not already doing so, and do leave us a rating and a review. It helps others to find the show as well. Today, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Graham McMillan, president of the VISA Foundation, and Melissa Stevens, executive vice president for philanthropy at the Milken Institute. Today, we're going to be talking about the world of corporate philanthropy. How does philanthropy, how does the corporate space interact? What's going on right now? What are some of the changes that have transpired as of late? And where are things heading? The Milken Institute and the VISA Foundation have a really interesting partnership, and they've done some interesting research. So we're going to delve into some of the insight from that as well. And so you're in for a treat today. If you're interested in corporate philanthropy, if you're interested in doing good, I think you'll very much enjoy today's conversation. And so without further ado, Graham, Melissa, wonderful to host you on the Do One Better podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here with you.
Thank you, Alberto.
It's an absolute pleasure. You're both representing two really interesting organizations. Many, many folks listening to this show would be familiar with both of your organizations. So Melissa, you're the Executive Vice President of Philanthropy at the Milken Institute. And Graham, you're the president of the VISA Foundation. And I guess we could just start by finding out a little bit more about each one of your organizations and perhaps the Milken Institute. What's that all about?
Wonderful. Thank you, Alberto. So the Milken Institute has a mission to overall build meaningful lives. And we have programmatic work that helps us to achieve that mission in the areas of health, finance, and philanthropy. And philanthropy, we know, is an incredible lever for driving change. And just to rewind the tape on myself, I started my work in the life sciences consulting practice. And I saw that developing strategies for research institutes and universities were only ever as good as the system in which they were living in. I grew really frustrated with that. And I was attracted to the Milken Institute because we were working on systems change, where we could accelerate the pace of developing new therapies for all different types of therapeutic areas. And we saw that philanthropy was just this incredible systems hacker because it had high tolerance for risk. It could be patient and play the long game. It could be put to work really quickly. And so I became obsessed with how do we use philanthropic capital as a force multiplier in driving systems change. And so our work now within the MI philanthropy pillar at the Institute really helps to improve the strategic deployment of philanthropic capital so that we're driving that positive change and we're creating the brighter, healthier, and safer world that we all know we can have. So we do that through deep landscaping. We do that through operationalizing philanthropy towards unique investment opportunities. And we cultivate communities of practice for funders to come together to learn with and from each other.
How wonderful. And it's always great to have someone on the show who's obsessed with philanthropy. That's a great thing.
I suspect I'm not alone.
No, you're not. Graham, give us a little bit of insight into the VISA Foundation. I imagine possibly most people listening to this have a VISA card in their pocket someplace.
I would hope so. Or a digital wallet, let's be clear.
Or a digital wallet.
We're not just card, we're digital, of course. You are right to attribute the foundation to, in fact, VISA. We are the corporate foundation of VISA, the global digital payments company. We're actually somewhat new, Alberto, which is maybe a bit surprising to you and the listeners. I know Melissa knows our story, so apology, Melissa, to have to hear this again. But our former chair and CEO, Al Kelly, created the foundation about 7 or 8 years ago. So we're on a learning journey, of course, as a corporate foundation, but certainly being associated with and a partner to the company, we're really engaged in a lot of really interesting work, of course, globally, advancing all of the kind of objectives that we're trying to achieve as a corporate philanthropy. And really, our purpose is to uplift everyone everywhere through advancing economic mobility. That's our North Star as the foundation. And I'll just say that we do that in a number of different ways. Our signature work, for those that have been following the foundation, has been focused on what we call financial inclusion, or our support of small and micro businesses. where we have a particular focus on women and underrepresented communities and the role that digitization could play in fostering that the growth of those businesses. But of course, as a corporate foundation, we're mindful of the 30,000 employees that work for Visa, where they live and where they work. We all live in a community and we all go to an office, and that forms in many ways our identity and the relationships that we have. So of course, we support the many communities in which we live and where we work through our community impact work. And sadly, as we all know, there are too many occurrences of disaster and conflict where, you know, sort of there's a humanitarian response effort, and we're very active in supporting that. Unfortunately, we'd like to see that work decline, not grow. But of course, we, as a responsible corporate global corporate citizen, we do that worldwide. And last but not least, is actually we support we have 30,000 employees, their own interest in philanthropy and volunteerism. So we actually support our employee matching. So it's a pretty comprehensive approach. And we've been doing it, as I said, for a number of years. And I think the one message that I'll end on is that we're a somewhat unusual U.S. corporate foundation in that we were lucky enough to be given an endowment of assets. And so what does that allow us to do? One of the reasons why we've been engaged with Melissa and Milken is it allows us to think differently in how we support the communities and how we represent Visa as a company by thinking longer term and engaging with partners in a longer view, but also that we invest in support the work of and the mission of the foundation. So the grant making and impact investing that we do, I think, is a really interesting story that hopefully we'll get into, because I think it does help us understand where corporate philanthropy looking forward can engage in different ways than perhaps we might have in the past. But that's just a brief intro on what we've been doing, and look forward to sharing more.
Wonderful intro. And yeah, with 30,000 staff volunteering, big part. And I know Milken came up with some research as well, looking at the satisfaction, employee satisfaction, those who volunteer versus those who don't. So it's great to hear. When people think about philanthropy, and then they think about the corporate world, sometimes they don't necessarily connect the dots, but there's so much insight coming from making a great partnership between the corporate world and the philanthropic space. I know you both have a great partnership, the Milken Institute and the Visa Foundation. So what I'd love to do is delve a little bit into that partnership, but perhaps before we do that, getting both of your takes on the world of corporate philanthropy. What's the state of affairs right now, and why should more of us be aware of it?
Yeah. I'm happy to jump in first. We became really interested in corporate philanthropy a few years ago. I previously talked about how philanthropy is a very unique asset class, and I'd say within that, corporate philanthropy is a super unique asset class, because it's not just the giving that comes out of the foundations. We think about the totality of corporate philanthropy. It's the foundation, and it's these incredible resources that can be activated within the community, within the corporation. If we're looking just financially, corporate giving is about 4% of all of giving in the United States. But again, there's so much more at their disposal. We look at the capital that's sitting within corporations. Banks are sitting on trillions of dollars of investable capital. There's $6 trillion in cash that corporations are sitting on. They're making huge investments in research and development. We talked a little bit about the volunteering, that there's deep expertise within these corporations. And we're not just talking about bringing people to clean up a park. It's tapping into the skill sets and the capabilities that they bring to work every day, which could be computer science, financial management, strategy, marketing, et cetera. And you mentioned the virtuous cycle, Alberto, that those that volunteer are more satisfied and more likely to recommend colleagues to join their organization. And the scale, these multinational corporations know how to bring goods and services to nearly every corner of the world. And that takes know-how, that takes infrastructure, that takes sophisticated supply chains, relationships with local partners. Again, all incredibly valuable. So we saw corporate philanthropy really prime to have huge impact. We also saw, somewhat as an outsider looking in, that there was a sea change happening, that the expectations for corporations were changing. We saw in the Edelman Trust Barometer that society views corporations as a key function of corporations is to solve societal problems. And so we saw corporations, CEOs, the foundations really going through a transformation as those expectations are starting, we're starting to change. So we saw, again, huge potential change underway at the sector. And we were really interested in diving in and learning more about what was really happening, how are folks meeting that moment, and what really is the potential for corporate philanthropy to be even more impactful going forward.
Hmm. Graham, your take on the world of corporate philanthropy?
Well, I think Melissa captured it really well, and we'll talk a bit more about the findings of the research that they conducted, because that really points to the collective observations of a number of leaders in the space. But I would just point out that corporate philanthropy has transformed a tremendous amount in some respects over the roughly call it 40 years. I usually typically say it's been about 40 years since corporate philanthropy as we know it, certainly in the U.S. context, emerged. Obviously, their predecessors in advance of that, and so I want to acknowledge that, but just sort of the practice, the acknowledgement that companies have some sort of responsibility to give back. And I think that that remains true, but what has evolved is, what does give back actually mean? I don't think that's a terminology that we would use in the same way that it was meant 40 years ago. It is this sort of relationship that a company has with the markets, its employees, its clients, its partners, to recognize that we can't exist without them and they benefit because we exist. And there's an element that the foundation, the role that we play, that really is mindful of, there are certain parts of our community that maybe historically have not benefited equally, and that we as a company recognize that and we want to support and engage, because in many ways it represents the value, in our case, values, I should say, of our 30,000 employees. But it also represents the values of our clients and our customers and our partners. And so we do have a part to play. The trick is, or can we be smarter about it, more thoughtful, more strategic? And that, I think, is where corporate philanthropy has really advanced. I'm sure you've had in other podcast conversations where, and I know you referenced a previous podcast with Women's World Banking, which is a terrific organization, where they are looking at the opportunity that the role that women can play in fostering, you know, economic growth and inclusion because of women's participation. That's a strategic imperative as much as it is a moral and values obligation, if you will. And so in many ways, we're for Visa and the work that we support in financial inclusion is also looking ahead to say there's opportunity for growth and participation where we all benefit. And so more and more, I think companies see corporate philanthropy as helping advance that, as well as just sort of the responsibility that we have to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed, we did have Marianne Iskandarian from Women's World Banking talking about financial inclusion and financial literacy, really important topics. And we've had numerous guests actually covering the importance of financial literacy in particular. Now, fairly new foundation, relatively speaking, Visa Foundation, partnering up with the Milken Institute, who, you know, almost quite synonymous with philanthropy. People think philanthropy, it's quite easy to immediately think about the Milken Institute. How did that partnership come about? What was the driving force, and what's it looking like?
Well, and I think that this gets to the crux of the conversation and why we're here, Alberto. And I think in following on to your previous question, I had a chance to attend the annual global meeting a few years ago in Los Angeles. And in fact, Melissa was kind enough to invite me to speak on a panel about Visa's viewpoint on our work, but also a number of the issues and topics we'll discuss today. And I think what struck me was when you walk around the room, you see leaders of business, leaders of government, leaders of community, and of course, the Institute has a set of core topics that Melissa can speak to and what they really are focused on, but they can't be addressed without recognizing that it takes a lot of different actors to have a voice and to have a viewpoint and perspective to address those critical challenges. And the fact that philanthropy is one of the pillars that the Institute has looked at, I found really interesting and compelling. And when Melissa and I had a chance to talk outside the bright lights and the public panel, it was an acknowledgement that, keep in mind, this was a moment in time just as we were emerging out of the pandemic. And the and Melissa spoke to this before, the almost the obligation or the challenges that companies broadly face, but certainly the role that the corporate foundations of these companies faced and how we responded and how we looked forward, put people like me and my colleagues and peers in a different place than we were in 2019. And frankly, I needed help. And I said, Melissa, can you help me? Like, in us? Because I think we're facing a number of challenges that maybe we don't have the touch points or the common platform to learn from one another. And Milken, because of who it is, the people that make up its priorities, it just seemed like a really the right place to lead that. And it turns out that it has been. And Melissa has done just, and her team, a tremendous job of asking the right questions, talking to the right people, and bringing it to a community that has a perspective that's really valuable.
Yeah. So Melissa, there you are having this chat. Someone's saying, can you give us a hand? We need a little bit of insight on the philanthropy side. Music to your ears.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember the moment well. I don't think we drew on a cocktail napkin, but there was a cocktail napkin there. And we were really pleased to start this partnership and to apply our research capabilities in a way where we could really understand the ecosystem and what's happening. And to, Grimm has showcased a tremendous work that's happening at the Visa Foundation, but how are others experiencing who might feel like they are islands of their own? So we undertook first a research effort where we talked to over 30 corporate philanthropy CEOs and executives and asked them, how do these changing expectations look for you? How are you meeting this moment? What are the new approaches that you are trying? What continue to be the headwinds that you face? And is there value in bringing this community together to share and learn with one another? And so that was one element of the partnership. And we learned a lot from that, and we can get into the findings, but one of them being a validation of absolutely, yes, please bring this community together and create a safe and trusted space where leaders can come together and can share what is challenging about this role. And how do we individually and collectively strengthen this sector and allow us to all be more successful? So that's how the partnership started.
Excellent. And then in terms of some of the insight, you alluded to it a little bit, but let's go. Let's find out.
So I'd say in terms of the insight, we've talked a little bit about the changing expectations for corporations, and we really found that leaders were, in order to be successful, that they were being pulled into key decisions and acting as advisors to many parts of the business and corporations. So they were not just making grants, they were becoming really integral to the corporation. And so they were needing to wear a number of different hats: advisor to the CEO, advisor to the external affairs team, advising on communications. And so we found that the role itself was just changing. It was not about finding where financial resources were needed. It was becoming a strategic and integral part to the corporation itself. So the roles themselves were fundamentally changing. We also heard that the volume and velocity with of events and crises were just increasing. And so there was more triage needing to be done around, do we do something? Do we say something? If we do, what do we do? What do we say? And so there was an accelerated pace of the work that was unprecedented. And those two factors were really, leaders were really grappling with, okay, this is a new reality with these new expectations and a new pace of the work. So we found that. We also found a number of interesting strategies that these leaders were deploying, anywhere from articulating and driving really ambitious goals around overcoming market failures, creating new markets, to using new kinds of tools. We've talked a little bit about impact investing that I know Graham can really dive into, using media and storytelling, and embracing new practices that we're seeing across philanthropy that help to reset power imbalances and to embrace trust-based philanthropy. So there are many new approaches that are we're coming to life within the corporate philanthropy sector. And I'd say, lastly, the learnings were, what do we still need to work on? Like, what is going to, what are kind of the make or break issues that the sector needs to, we need to do some more thinking about and more evolution. And I'd say one is around talent development. So these leaders, in order to be most successful, need to understand the philanthropy side, theories of change, measuring impact, working with communities. They also need to understand the business side, the operations, strategy, P&Ls. Leaders that have all of those capabilities in one person is a bit unique. So we need to be thinking about how we are developing the next generation of leaders to take on these kinds of roles. So the talent development piece was one. The communication between the C-suite and the corporate philanthropy leaders, and how we get that right. Because the CEOs and corporate executives need to be on board. They need to understand the work that the foundation is doing. And so we found that there was really a need to be thoughtful about the cadence, the vocabulary, the way in which the work and its impact is being communicated to the corporation. And then two other quick ones, figuring out the strategic deployment of resources. So we alluded to the significant amount of potential resources a corporation could be brought to bear. But the truth is, it's finite. And there are fluctuations in the ability to use those resources depending upon the economy and the market. There's increased volume of and opportunities of where to give. So understanding, when are you going to lean in? When are you not going to lean in? And making those choices that are reactive, all while you all have a proactive strategy that you're trying to roll out. And then I just say, finally, demonstrating impact. And that's not new for corporate philanthropy. Anyone who's been in philanthropy for more than a minute knows that demonstrating impact and measuring impact, it is an ongoing challenge and feels somewhat elusive. And in this environment, it needs to be it needs to be done even more so. And we need to be thinking about how you communicate that to different communities, the folks on the ground that you're trying to serve versus your executive team. So those are just some of the findings and where we want to continue to put energy and time and thinking so that we can strengthen the sector overall.
Fascinating stuff. And so you're touching on the fast evolving nature of this environment and the importance and increasing importance of having those chief executives, those presidents of those corporate foundations be not just grant makers, but also be really very much in tune with the corporate side of things, the P&L and the balance sheets and all of this. And so Graham, pivoting to you a little bit, something you said at the very start, corporate philanthropy is much more than just, here, we're going to write a check. Let's do what we do and let's see how we can deploy that for impact. So what I'd love to get a little bit of a sense from you, Graham, is in terms of how do you see that space evolving? Because, you know, sustainability, so many challenges, philanthropy somewhat small relative to the corporate space. So the resources that the corporate world has can really and are actually essential, I think, in helping us get to those sustainable development goals for 2030. So how would you characterize that evolving side of things and where are we going with corporate philanthropy?
So in the classic US tax code structure, Visa Foundation is a separate legal entity. But Visa is the name of the foundation. And so what that means is Visa is the sole contributor to the foundation. And in many ways, we exist because of Visa. And so we're very much aligned to what Visa is trying to accomplish. And a lot of that comes from our executive leadership and our CEO, Ryan McInerney. So my board is the senior leadership of Visa. So I love the fact that Melissa talks about accountability and performance and measurement. Any one of the companies that contributed to the findings in this report, all of my peers can attribute to the expectations that our boards and the senior executive leadership have of the performance and the value add that these organizations play, it's of the same standard that it would be of any other business function. So therefore, you have to demonstrate what it is, in fact, that you're driving in terms of value for the organization. And of course, the primary role that we play is really enhancing Visa's reputation with a range of different stakeholders. And I think that really gets at the heart, Alberto, of the matter that you're raising, which is, and Melissa alluded to this, the expectations are complex. And I think the pace of response and expectation of these stakeholders, both on behalf of the company, but the company in many ways is synonymous with our foundations and our philanthropies. There isn't an acknowledgement that it's a separate 501c3, so it's different. No, it's Visa. How is Visa responding? What is Visa doing to address this challenge? And that requires a holistic response. And so for me, I'm incredibly privileged to have the senior leadership of the company in the boardroom, because our CEO's viewpoint is very clear that this is about growing the economic pie, recognizing that there's millions and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people who are not participating. Let's show a different way forward. Meanwhile, when these terrible disasters strike, that we are concerned and we do care about communities. So it's the totality of all of that, but to do so in a way that isn't independent from and totally separate and distinct, but it's really a part of the total response of the organization. And that requires a common plan and common objective, talent that knows how to translate and navigate all the different sort of incentives and drivers within the organization. And that's, again, why we went to Milken to say, I know that I would benefit and my team would benefit from learning what our peers are doing. How are they approaching? What are some of the best practices? What are some of the pitfalls? And then also, more importantly, to look forward. Because I think it's really prudent for us to recognize where we are today, the relevance of that 5 years from now. You know, we need to be forward leaning, and that if we are to maintain our license to operate, so to speak, we have to be looking ahead, not just worrying about what we did today or what we did yesterday.
Yeah, you used that word peers, and what your peers are doing. First of all, just highlighting what I'm observing from listening to both of you and how you're describing things, this is very much a symbiotic relationship where Visa Foundation is benefiting and learning from the insights of the Milken Institute and vice versa. And now let's talk a little bit about that peer network. I had Paul Polman on the show a while back, and he's so passionate about grabbing industry, entire industries, specific verticals, whether that's automotive or FMCGs, and getting all of them to collaborate somehow into sustainability, that global sustainability agenda. So what do you say to those folks who are listening in the corporate space, perhaps corporate philanthropy? They may be at a competitor, they may be at an auxiliary or complementary service provider. What's the message that you want to convey?
I'd say come join us. This is... I really feel that the group that we're bringing together is coming at it because everyone wants to do good work in the seats in which they are sitting, and they can become smarter, more effective, elevate the entire sector if we're coming together collectively to work on some of the challenges that everyone is feeling, everyone is facing. And so there, it's really a spirit of camaraderie and sharing. And I would encourage folks to reach out and learn more about this Corporate Philanthropy Leadership Collective, as we call our corporate PLC, about becoming part of that and being part of that, the community. I'd also encourage folks to take a look at the research. So our report is Corporate Philanthropy: Emerging Strategies for Lasting Impact, and learn more about what we found, what are some of the interesting approaches, strategies, and tactics that are being put into practice as we speak. And to, you know, to Graham's point, how is this evolving into the future? And where do we need to be? Where's the puck that we need to skate to, so to speak?
I didn't think we were going to use the Wayne Gretzky analogy, but I love it because, you know, it really is in my role and my colleagues that have been a part of this. You know, I have two responsibilities. One is to ensure that the team that I work with has all the necessary resources and conditions to be successful, but also to have an eye on what's around the corner. And that's the expectation that the board has for me. And I, there are a number of challenges that we're all, I think, sensing and hopefully seeing that philanthropy through our partners. And let's be clear that the work that the Visa Foundation does, and I think to a large degree, our peers, is done through partners. And so if we work with the right partners, they, you know, they're a bellwether, they're a beacon to what is coming. And so many of them are doing just tremendous work to help us think of better ways of doing it. That'll in turn benefit all of us. And that's the great thing about the collaboration here, is that yes, while we're going to go out in the marketplace and compete, and we want to have a better product and service, we're going to try to beat you in a marketplace. That's what business is about. And in doing so, of course, create greater value to the customer. But in this work, we collectively recognize that we are not going to be successful as companies if the world in which we live in, the societies in which we live in, are not getting stronger. The challenges that we all are confronted with, you know, in our, on our planet, in our societies, they're ones that we are all better together challenging or overcoming than working individually. And so that's what you find is that intent and spirit of collaboration among us. And I would just simply say that there, we have already been collaborating as a group. There are plenty of examples of, you know, projects we've co-funded, co-invested in, and all around the world. But what I think we are likely to see because of Melissa and her team's work at Milken is more strategic, both signaling of what opportunities can be, and then ideally actual collaboration. And I think the talent example that she referenced is probably the most valuable investment, because that's what will pay dividends for future generations. And I think you can expect that future leadership of these companies will come from people who have knowledge about all of these issues, not just the best product or service.
Yeah. And speaking on the talent front and those who could get involved, this is not just for folks in the US or Canada or Europe, but your perspective is very much global.
Exactly. And it's been a wonderful partnership in process. And we're very thankful to Graham and the Visa Foundation for really starting this effort. And we are thankful to other partners who are along this with us. So the MetLife Foundation, the Coca-Cola Foundation, the Comcast NBC Universal Foundation, who are all involved with this and helping to move this effort forward. It truly is a collaborative effort.
Excellent. Now, before we part ways for today, I'd love to ask each one of you for a key takeaway. Graham, perhaps I'll kick off with you. What's that one thing you'd love for the audience to keep in mind after they finish listening to today's episode?
I come back to the moment where I asked Melissa for help. Her willingness to listen and to recognize that there is an opportunity to really form a connection, because it comes down to the mutual value add that our two institutions initially felt we could bring to this. That next connection between MetLife or Comcast, that's what's building here. And we're all just recognizing that we are better doing this together. We'll be more effective in our roles when we do this together. And it's just acknowledging that we can learn and work together. So that I go back to that moment of saying, hey, Melissa, can you help me with this challenge? And you have, Melissa. And for that, we're grateful. And I think we're more effective in the work that we're doing. And Alberto, just the fact that you've allowed us to have this conversation with you will continue to expand the ripples of the circle, if you will.
Excellent. Melissa?
Well, we are very grateful, Graham, to you and Visa Foundation as well. It has been quite a privilege to have this partnership together. Similar response for those who are listening. They're listening because they want to do one better, and we can do one better if we're coming together to do one better. So I would encourage folks who want to learn more, who want to be part of a community of corporate philanthropy that is learning together, doing together, to reach out and learn more about the Corporate Philanthropy Leadership Collective at the Institute. And again, take a look at the reports for some new strategies.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, look, Melissa, Graham, such a pleasure. Thank you both for making the time, for sharing your insight, shedding so much light on the great work that you're doing. So very much appreciated. And here's to your continued success.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alberto.
Perfect. And that's a wrap. Thanks very much for tuning in. As always, you've been listening to a great chat with Graham McMillan, President of the Visa Foundation, and Melissa Stevens, Executive Vice President for Philanthropy at the Milken Institute. For information about this conversation and more than 250 other interviews and case studies with remarkable thought leaders in philanthropy, sustainability, and social entrepreneurship, just visit our website at lidji.org. That's lidji.org. Thanks so much for tuning in, as always. Please click that subscribe button, leave us a rating and a review. And I have to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed producing today's episode, so I very much look forward to catching up with you this coming Monday.